وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in rank. آمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, there is a hadith by Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mafatihul jannati shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. It is related by Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an that the Messenger of Allah mentioned that the testimony of la ilaha illallah, that there is no deity save Allah, is the key. Mafatihul Jannah is one of the keys to heaven, to Jannah. So in this tradition also, only the testimony of divine oneness has been spoken of. And here too, it means the recognition of the call of faith and the acceptance of Islam as one's creed, in the same way as the pronouncement of the Kalima denotes the embracing of Islam. So the Muslims and the non-Muslims alike regarded the testimony of divine oneness and of messengership, the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as equal to the profession of Islam. They profess their Islam. In another hadith, it is mentioned an Abi Dharr qala ataytu an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa alayhi thawbun abyad wa huwa na'imun thumma ataytuhu wa qad istayqaz fa qala ma min 'abdin qala la ilaha illa Allah ثم مات على ذلك إلا دخل الجنة قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق قلت وإن زنا وإن سرق قال وإن زنا وإن سرق على رغم أنف أبي ذر. Abu Dharr radiallahu relates that one day I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was asleep, covered with a white sheet. After some time, I went again and found that he was awake. So he said, Rasulullah said, the bondsman who says that there is no God but one Allah, and he dies in that state, shall go to Jannah. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala relates that he exclaimed, even if he commits theft, even if he commits adultery? So Rasulullah replied, yes, even if he has committed adultery, and even if he has committed theft. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala goes on to relate, and he again exclaimed, even if he commits adultery, even if he commits theft? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again replied, yes, even if he has committed adultery, and even if he has committed theft. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala related, once again, he asked with astonishment, O Messenger of Allah, will anyone who had affirmed La ilaha illallah go to heaven, even if he has committed adultery, and even if he has committed theft? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, yes, in spite of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, asking all these questions, and, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if the person has committed adultery, and even if he has committed theft, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will go to Jannah. Now let us go through the commentary of this particular hadith and understand it. The pronouncement of faith, you know, when one professes La ilaha illallah, it denotes the acknowledgement of the entire creed of monotheism of Islam. And it is beyond doubt that whosoever will do so with a truthful heart shall go to Jannah. In case he has committed a sin, in spite of being a believer, Allah will admit him to paradise, forgiving him his sins and without punishing him for his misdeeds if he is deserving of pardon. And supposing he is not worthy of pardon and forgiveness, he will yet go to heaven after undergoing punishment. So the hadith makes reference to the fact that he will definitely go to Jannah and he will have to pay for his deeds, if he has contravened the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons him, that's a different story. So we must constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. So whoever believes sincerely in Islam shall at all events enter paradise, even if after passing through a spell of chastisement in hell. I remember our Sheikh explaining this year, he says that when a person goes into the hospital and he wishes to come out better there, he goes onto the operating theater, in the operating theater, and then the surgeon takes a scalpel and he cuts open his chest or any part of his body and he performs an operation. Bazahir, if you look at it, vividly and openly, this person is going through a great amount of difficulty where his body is being cut, but the end result is only goodness for him. So in the same way, a person will be admitted, into the emergency ward of Jahannam, where he will become purified of all his sins, and then by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shall enter Jannah. So Sayyidina Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala put the same question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam over and over again, probably because it appeared to him rather strange that a person who had been guilty of such sins or as adultery and theft could find place in heaven. Till then, this perception had not come to his knowledge. Now, he couldn't understand it. How is that possible? So we find it hard today to understand the hesitation of Abu Dharr, because we have been born into Islam and learned these elementary principles in a natural way at home, but Allah knows best. And now we know from the teachings in the Quran, in the Hadith, that a person is answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the wrong that he has done. And that is why no moment must go past in the life of a mu'min that he has committed a sin and then he does not resort to making tawbah and seek forgiveness from that particular sin and make a firm commitment not to go back to that sin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the strength of his iman, will enter him into Jannah. And if he doesn't seek pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he continues in this life of sin, then he will have to pay the price for it in Jahannam. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out and take him into Jannah. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated in Muslim Sharif, an Usman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man mata wa huwa ya'lamu annahu la ilaha illallah, دخل الجنة. It is related by Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger of Allah said, whosoever died knowing with complete certainty that no one was worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall go to paradise. So in this tradition also, in this hadith, the state of complete certainty in the truth of La ilaha illallah signifies the state of faith in the entire creed of monotheism. And the gaining of admission into paradise denotes what we have been explained, what has been explained in the hadith before this also. So every believing man shall go to paradise, either straight away by the mercy of Allah, or after undergoing punishment for his transgressions, depending on what the balance sheet of his deeds on earth call for. It is related by Idban ibn Malik, and he's one of the Ansar companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who fought in the Battle of Badr radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, once I presented myself before the Messenger of Allah, my vision has become impaired and I lead the people in congregational salah. Thus, when it rains and the small stream that lies between my house and the houses of my people begins to flow, it becomes impossible for me to go to their masjid and lead the congregation. So, O Messenger of Allah, therefore, I request you to come to my house and offer salah there so that I may mark that spot where you offer salah the permanent place of worship for myself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Inshallah, I will do that. So on the very next morning, when the day had advanced a little bit, he and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who came to my house, and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sought my permission to enter. I gave him the permission. When he came in, he did not sit, but asked me, What place do you prefer in your house where I may offer the salah? So I pointed towards a part of the house upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and commenced the salah after saying, Allahu Akbar. So we also stood behind him in a row. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered two rakats and turned his face in salam, in salutation. I requested him to stay and take part of khazira. Now khazira is a dish that is made up of meat, flour and spices, which was prepared for him. So on hearing about the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the neighbors also came and joined in the meal. Then one of them asked, Where is Malik bin Dukhaysh? So someone from among them replied, He is a hypocrite. He has no love for Allah and His Messenger. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, Do not say so. Do you not see that he believes in La ilaha illallah and seeks the good pleasure of Allah through it? So the same person said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. We, on our part, find that his sympathy and inclination is towards the hypocrites. So verily, replied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has forbidden the fire of hell for anyone who has said La ilaha illallah with a sincere heart and whose intention is nothing but to seek the countenance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. So again, the forbidding of the fire of hell for anyone who recites the kalima La ilaha illallah denotes that we just, what we just explained regarding the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very, very same category. So, in a report appearing in Sahih Muslim, Yashhadu la ilaha illallah, affirmation that there is no God but one Allah, has been mentioned in place of Qala la ilaha illallah, that there is no God but one Allah. But both the expression convey the call and the adoption of faith in Islam. So as we have seen already, during the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a popular way of indicating the acceptance of Islam as one's religion. So the companions who had described Malik bin Dukhaysh as a hypocrite knew of no transgression on his part, except that he kept company of the hypocrites and was on friendly terms with them. So from it we know how sensitive the companions were, even with regard to faith. Even if a minor thing like this was so repugnant to them that they denounced it as hypocrisy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's admonition further carries the lesson that if weaknesses like these are present in some people, but they are earnest in their affirmation of divine unity and the risalat and prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will not be correct to mistrust them or to condemn them so severely. Rather, the aspect of faith and belief is stronger. So we must remember that Malik bin Dukhaysh was a companion who took part in the battles, including Badr. So perhaps he had some reason to keep company of the hypocrites. There may have been some reason for them, maybe taking them out of their hypocrisy and bringing them towards Islam. So we cannot be the judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had clearly outlined the beauty of that hadith when Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. That verily Allah has made the fire forbidden on a person who says La ilaha illallah and he desires only from this year the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.